Now, I've got this last scriptural text that nobody can understand, but it sort of fits in. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body, I can't tell, or whether out of the body, I can't tell. God knows. Such as one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, or I can't tell, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, you tell me what that means, but anyway, it fits in. Let me start off here with the one I need your help on. I think this has been told from this pulpit before, but watered down a whole lot. You got these three guys that are walking out on the country road, and you can see at a glance that every one of them has got something dreadfully wrong with them. And you, one in the middle kind of nudges the other and says, well, what is that thing out there on the horizon? And let's go out and find out. So the point of light. Well, they walk 5 miles, and it's Jesus. And Jesus walks up to them, and he says, you, my son, tell me about yourself. Who are you? Well, I'm John Jones. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I've been blind from birth. And so Jesus kneels down like he did in that passage from Matthew, and he picks up some dirt, spits on it, rubs it on the man's eyes, and suddenly a miracle occurs, and the guy can sing and dance, and he can see for the first time in his life. And he turns to the second fellow, and who you are, my son, tell us. Well, I'm Jimmy Smith from Indianapolis, Indiana. Well, Jimmy, what's wrong with you? Well, Jesus, I've been crippled from birth. So Jesus kneels down, puts his hands on his knees, and suddenly, Jimmy, a miracle takes place. Jimmy can sing and dance, praise God. And he turns to the third fellow, and he says, and who are you, my son? Jesus, I'm Jimmy Caudle. I'm from Whitesburg, Kentucky, and I got total disabilities. And don't you touch me. If you're from Eastern Kentucky, you appreciate that. And it dovetails a little bit into the sermon. The point is that Elmer could see paradise wherever he was. And he sees it in a place that's different from anybody else would see it. And that's the message that our friend the Apostle Paul is trying to preach to you in those two scriptures. They are texts that are frequently used by evangelicals when they're talking about the rapture. They cite those two passages. You're being caught up into heaven all of a sudden. And Paul is a believer in the philosophy of the Stoics that was rampant at that time. He thinks he can find happiness and peace and fulfillment wherever he is. He can even find it when he's in jail. He will write to the Philippian church and says, I'm happy just the same. And that's what you have found in that passage, especially from 1 Thessalonians, where he's talking about how the Thessalonian church has excelled everybody in love and support of the church and being good citizens. And then he exhorts them to do more. And then he twists it around, as he so often does. This is vintage Paul. And he quickly shifts to the emphasis about what the good life is going to be in the hereafter. You find these two trends pretty often in the New Testament, almost never in the Old Testament. Those old rabbis that composed the books in the Old Testament, they didn't have much to say about the hereafter. It was a dark and shadowy place and didn't know much what was going to happen. It wasn't especially good. In the book of Daniel, you find a little bit about paradise, very little. And in the rest of the Old Testament, almost nothing. But you find it a lot in the New Testament. And that's in the Old Testament, that's especially the emphasis that somebody like Ecclesiastes will have. He's, you know, in all fairness, Ecclesiastes is an agnostic. He might be an atheist, but he looks at what's going to happen in the here and now. He says, get your joy right now. So I'd like to explore paradise this morning with you. And I'll not call it heaven. I want to call it paradise. And I want to use as my springboard these two special hymns from John Prine. And as John Stratton says, we could pick several others that where he talks about the hereafter. We lost him to COVID about a year ago. And in my judgment, it was far too early. It just broke my heart. There are many wonderful members of the Grand Ole Opry Hall of Fame. And in Kentucky, you find many good ones. Loretta Lynn. Bill Monroe, Everly Brothers, Ricky Skaggs, and some of us around Lexington, Kentucky would include J.D. Crow. I don't know whether he's been recognized down there or not, but we would put him right in there. And then you've got this fellow who was an expatriate from Kentucky, John Prine, who grew up down in Muhlenberg County, and his parents moved away when he was a youth, but he kept coming back and visiting. And that's where paradise comes from. The message he's trying to mediate is what you do with this term, heaven or paradise. And with all the advice that we've gotten in the last year and a half about how to juggle work with childcare or how to make Zoom meetings effective or how to be sure you've got 2 months of toilet paper saved up, it seems to me that very little has been said, particularly from the pulpit, about how 500 million Americans are going to be dealing with the hereafter, a paradise. So I want you to indulge me a little bit about a brief reflection about how I would think John Prine would mediate it to you with Jesus' teachings on in the here and now and what we have to look forward to. This favorite of mine, as you band members would understand, is a musician's musician. He can make people laugh and cry and think all at the same time. And his song, Paradise, that you sang, was recorded quite a while ago, 50 years ago, 1971. And at the beginning of it, the people in Muhlenberg County didn't know what to do with it. The radio stations wouldn't play it. They thought they would offend Mr. Peabody. And then it hit number one on the charts, and they had to play it. And then everybody loved it, including Mr. Peabody. So it was a perfect distillation of personal and historical of yearning and grief. And he wrote it for his father. You don't get much out of that song that's about father, but it's in the refrain. Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise flows? I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late to ask him. Mr. Peabody's coal train done hauled her away. And you being Kentuckians, you know that paradise is a little town down in western Kentucky. That's where the songwriter's parents came from, where he grew up. And the first of his two verses in this, I'll call it a hymn, deal with his visiting there and growing up as a child. The second verse, and I think that's the most powerful verse in the song, pictures their travels down the Green River, down by the old prison, down by Adry Hill, where the air smelled like snakes, and where we'd shoot our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. So it's simple, it's innocent, and you get these two words in that very same line, prison and snakes, and you begin to wonder maybe those were there because he realized that paradise was already had the seeds of its destruction. Then the third verse, and you've got it there in your pews, I hope. I had 30 of them printed out, and that's the one that was not in the ordinary bulletin. You can look at it. Here it comes. Pride tells you what's going to happen at Paradise when the coal company comes with the world's largest shovel and torches the timber to dig for the coal until the land's forsaken. And you get that final line that's vintage John Prine. Then they wrote it all down as the progress of man. The song's last verse has comforted me through losses of family members and friends, and it somewhat served me during the purpose of the pandemic and the loss of John Prine. When I die, let my ashes flow down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam, because I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting just 5 miles away from wherever I am. Kind of like Elmer Caudle with Jesus on the horizon. Being Kentuckians, we know that the specificity of a place helps us to envision something intangible like paradise. We can fill it in with our own special places. And Chad's recent exercises on where you've seen God in the last week is so typical of that. It works perfectly. It's right on target. Questions like this open us up to the present and the hereafter and open us up to the full scope of humanity, from its most violent and torturous to its most loving. And you find that dichotomy in the passage from 1 Corinthians. You find it a lot in the New Testament, because paradise seems to contain both seeds of terror and love. If you're going to hell, it's bad. And he was more pessimistic when he wrote this than most of the graduates of the Grand Ole Opry. He didn't think that human history was that good. And he didn't express a lot of disgust and despair in his songs. He wouldn't have shied away from calling out what with the hell that we've been through in the last several months with the protests, the elections, and the pandemic, and the weather, and all sorts of things. And there, he talks about them as being ghosts of what we are left by strip mines down in Western Kentucky, kind of like the ghost of Christmas Past, the Christmas Carol. He's got another song that you'll find there in the pews, I hope. It's not in your bulletin. And I can't sing it very well. It's one of the last things he wrote. He'd been a cancer survivor because he was a heavy smoker. And he lived till the COVID got him. It's from his last album called A Tree of Forgiveness. And it's when I get to heaven. This is the one that's maybe not appropriate, but you know, we're inclusive. He takes a look at what he intends to do after he dies. He's going to start a band. He's going to see his dearly departed family members, order a cocktail, kiss a pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. He's going to shake God's hand and ask him to be forgiven to everybody. And then in his own special wry sense of humor, because he was a cancer survivor and they'd cut him off cigarettes, he says he's going to smoke a cigarette 9 miles long. It's likely that that song was intended as a wink toward his mortality. And as being a cancer survivor, he could say what he wanted to, and then COVID got him. And it ought to be interpreted, as Paul did, by saying that you've got good things to look forward to, but right now you ought to be living your life with gusto while you're still here. We lost this prophet far too early. And just as he said in his song, Paradise, his ashes are now floating down the Green River past Adrian Hill and the old prison. That's what his wife did with him. And that's what I like Delinda to do with me and Muddy Creek.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.